the way maker. Aren't you glad he makes a way? Amen. When there seems to be no way. All right, anybody have anything you want to give away? Anything you want to share with us tonight? Something that just has encouraged you, helped you. Keith, I sent you that. Did you get that, brother? Good deal. Yeah, okay. Good deal. Look, Keith asked me if I'd sent him this morning's message to pass on to one of his boys, and I was able to do that from my phone. So if any of y'all ever want a message or not here and would like to hear, just ask me. I put them up on sermon audio. I don't always do that. Some I do, some I don't. It just depends. But I can easily, like I did with Keith, it gives me an option to send it in a text to him. And if it's a small message, it'll send it directly to him. If it's a larger message, like minute-wise, like today, a 38, 40-minute worth of message, it lets me upload it and then gives me a password that he can go to that, and it just asks for a password. You just type it in. It gives you the password. When I send it in the text, you type it in, and it'll download it to your phone. You'll have it, and you'll be able to listen to it right there. It's easy to do. So works good. So anytime y'all would want something, you just let me know, and I can shoot it to you. Sure can. And it's easy to pass on to somebody else. Like Keith, all you did was just forward the text. If you got something that you want to pass on to somebody, you just let me know, and I can do that. And sometimes I could even take a portion. I can take a portion of a message. Like if we spent 50 minutes together, but there was a section in there about 10, 15 minutes of a specific principle or a point, you say, can you send me that, Brother Nick? Just that right there, that 15-minute section, I think that would be good for somebody. I can pull that out and drop that to you, and then you can send it to somebody or for yourself that you can have. So it's fairly easy for me to do. It just takes a little while to upload it out here in Porterville. But I have found that I can slip right out here on the backside of the church by the old stump out here, and I turn my Wi-Fi off, and it goes to LTE. And I can upload with LTE in that one little spot right there pretty quick, about like that, where it would take 45 minutes for me to do it inside. I can do it in about 30 seconds out there. In that one spot, I got to get right there. And one day it might be just a touch slower than the day before, but for the most part, it's 10 times faster than what our internet and Wi-Fi do. Okay? So, anybody have anything? Something you want to give away, something you want to ask, something that just has blessed you as you've been journeying through the Proverbs, something that encouraged you, something you've been giving away, something that might have puzzled you, would like a little more help on it. Hey, this is wisdom right here. This is wisdom. The scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. It's better than money. It's better than precious jewels. It's better than diamonds and rubies. It's better than anything, having wisdom, because wisdom comes with a skill, knowing how to take the next step. It's the how to. It knows what to do next. And there are times in our lives, for an example, when wisdom from God's word didn't deal with this thing in particular. But when I'm in the presence of God, operating in the favor of God, living by faith, God will speak and give me wisdom on how to make a choice, how to make a decision. Let me illustrate it for you. Y'all remember when Solomon was presented with a problem with two different women that had both had a child, and one of the babies died during the night, and one mother came in and took the other one and said that baby belonged to her, and the other mother says it didn't, and they brought it before Solomon. And what did Solomon do? What was his response to that? Does God, first off, did God's word give us any insight on what to do in those situations when that happens? Are you going to find anything in there? No. Now, the insight that it does give us is this. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding. Acknowledge Him. Go to Him. Ask Him for help. And He'll do what? Direct our paths. Even with things that the Word doesn't give us clarity on. But so, what were you going to say, Brother Shannon?
We all know the answer. We all know the answer what Solomon told the women.
He told her to do what? Take the child. Saw it in half. And each of you will have a half. What did the mama do? Mama said, back off. Preserve and keep the life of the child. She could have it. The other woman, what was her response?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's do it. Yeah. No genuine, authentic mom that just had the baby is going to do that. And Solomon knew right off the bat who the mama really was. Scripture says he acted with wisdom. Word went out of the wise judgment that Solomon gave. Because Solomon had wisdom. Even though the word didn't tell him exactly what to do, he was still able to operate with a divine wisdom on a decision that was a how to do the next thing and be in harmony with God and bless those that needed to be blessed. He blessed that mama that day. So we need God's wisdom. I don't think we're going to have answers like Solomon had to do what he did if we're not putting ourselves in position to actually have the wisdom that God has given us, that is, what He's spoken. If I'm not seeking Him for the answers that He's already declared, why in the world would I think He's going to give me something that He hadn't already said to help me make some decisions in life? I don't think He does. I don't think He will. I think we need to be in a place where, hey, this is how we function every day. We go to the Lord. We ask Him. We seek Him. He's given us solutions for life to apply the knowledge that He's given us. And when we come to those things that we just don't have an example given to us in the Word, God's going to put it in our heart what to do next that's going to be in harmony with Him and bless other people. Because to walk in harmony with Him, you got to have wisdom.
Amen.
Got to have wisdom to make right choices in life. That practical choice of how to remain in harmony with God, bless other people, and remain in the favor of the Lord in the decisions that we make. Now, of course, we all make decisions, just like Solomon did and many others, that are not in harmony with the will of God. And we're grateful for His long-suffering and His patience and His kindness. How many of y'all have made some bad decisions that wasn't wise? How many then, what wisdom does is learn from those bad decisions. That's just what the wise do. And not only do the wise learn from their bad decisions, but they learn from the bad decisions of other people as well. And there is no cookie cutter answer to every little thing in life. That's why God's made it in such a way we got to seek Him. But remember, when Satan suggested to Eve, like we talked about this morning, to redefine God's wisdom, what He said, what God said was good, she now sees as evil. It was good that they were naked, but once she took His suggestions, what was good to God was now evil to her. Yeah. Not only that, but it was good that they were in fellowship with God. But now they're on the what? They're hiding. They're running. What was good has now become evil. They're covering themselves. They're hiding and getting away from the Lord because that's what the world does. The world attempts to manipulate us so that we redefine what God says is good. It was good that Adam and Eve come before the Lord, meet with the Lord, speak with the Lord, confess before God, agree with God, get right with Him. But what was they doing? They were hiding. They thought that was a good choice to hide. But that was an evil choice to hide from the Lord. That's why God ended in a question form. Not that He didn't know where they were. Does God never not know where we are? Does God never not know what's in our heart? Never. I mean, He knows all things. That's why we refer to Him as being omniscient. And that's the thing that even in the wisdom that we have, we are not all wise. He is all wise. So we submit to His, the fact that He's all wise, to glean wisdom from Him. But God presented the question, where are you? In His mercy to them to come clean with Him, and His patience with them. But see, they took and saw what was good as an evil thing and hid from Him, simply because they heeded the suggestions of an enemy, heeded the suggestions of a world around us. And we have to be cautious about that. We want God to define His wisdom to us. We want Him to define everything for us, because anything and everything that is not defined by God is going to be a corrupt definition, and we're going to perceive it differently than how He sees it. And we need to see it how He sees it. Amen?
Amen.
Because faith is the only way to please God, and faith is what? Seeing and agreeing with what God sees. And if I don't see and agree with what God sees, I'm seeing it and agreeing with something else. And that's not operating in faith. And we want to operate in faith. Look, if you would, in chapter number 14. Chapter 14. I think it is. Look in verse number 33. 14:33 says, wisdom. What does wisdom do? Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. When you think about something that's at rest, it's resting, what do y'all think about? Y'all give me some feedback. When things are at rest, what are they? Stephanie said peaceful. Janet said peaceful. What else? Well, give me some other stuff. Huh? Settled. Settled. When somebody's resting, they're at rest, they're settled.
Like a lake or ocean can be at rest.
Can be calm. Not disturbed. That's the idea. When an ocean or a sea or a lake is disturbed by the atmosphere, the weather, them waves are all over the place. But y'all ever been out on a real big lake and it be super calm like glass? Because there's no wind blowing. There's no storms coming in. It's just like glass. You ever seen that Tom Bigby like that? Like just real smooth, which it's always got a current flowing through it. You know, but it can be rougher at times. You ever look where it looks like a rough lake? I've been out there one day with y'all and got caught out in it. Who was driving that day? Was it Briggs or was it Lucas? I can't remember. We went out on the river one day and had a couple of us. I think Carolyn was with us. Janet was with us. And boy, the storm came on us pretty quick. And like the night got it docked, you know, because of the disturbed water. So resting. What else? Give me some other things. Settled. Still, that would be, it's still. When you're content. Content. Quiet. Quiet. Word like secure. What else would go along with that? Words like sure. Wisdom inside of somebody that has understanding is all these things you just mentioned. It's still, it's sure, it's settled, undisturbed, it's peaceful, it's quiet, it's meek. That's part of being wise. There's a meekness in that. And somebody that's meek is somebody that's, it's, they're not threatened. Wisdom is not threatened. You see, when you're at rest, you're not threatened. When somebody is not at rest, what happens? They get disturbed and they're anxious, and when they're threatened, they're defensive. Well, wisdom is not defensive. It's okay. Inside where? Those who have understanding. But what's the opposite picture that Proverbs gives us here? The fool, on the other hand, has turmoil going on inside where? Inside of them. And that turmoil has to spew out. It has to get out. It has to make known that it's upset, that it's not settled. It's not still. It's not at rest. It's not at peace. And that's why this passage says that, look, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in or inside the heart and mind of fools is made known. A fool is going to tell you what he's thinking. Can't help themselves. Proud of it too. Are you with me? You ever been that way where, boy, you was proud, you told them what you thought? Come on now. How many of you ever acted like a fool? And not operating in wisdom. See, wisdom is okay when it's being threatened. Wisdom is okay when somebody disagrees with it. Not that it's okay with the disagreement, but it doesn't get riled up in the disagreement. It's because it's content in what it is. It needs nothing because it has everything. It is the principal thing. It doesn't need to be affirmed. It doesn't need to be authenticated in the sense that it doesn't need somebody to pat it on the back and say, everything's good, you all right, that was a wise choice or wisdom that you expressed there. No, it doesn't get bothered by what is going on around it nor the threats that come against it. But a fool, on the other hand, want you to know what's going on inside their mind. Not only does it want you to know, it's going to let you know. And they're going to eat you up. They're going to communicate what they're thinking, what they're feeling, how they're feeling, the way that they're feeling, what they don't like, what they do like, what they care for, what they like about you, what they don't like about you. A fool cannot help themselves. They have to release what is inside of them. It's got to come out. Everything in their heart is going to be made known. If they had time, they'd tell you everything. A lot of times it's not, they don't have long enough to tell you, but they're going to tell you everything they can in the time that they have. And that's just what goes on inside of a fool. So see, that helps me. One, recognize when either I'm operating in God's wisdom and wisdom is at rest in me, or I've neglected that wisdom and I begin to operate like a fool. I begin to think like a fool. I begin to respond like a fool. Also, it helps me when I'm dealing with people. How they respond and how they react and how they communicate and what they say is going to reveal to me whether I'm dealing with a fool here or somebody acting like a fool or I'm dealing with a wise person. Bible even says when a fool keeps his mouth closed, people think they're wise. But just the opposite, if a righteous or a wise man doesn't keep his mouth settled in a conversation, he'll be thought of as a fool. And sometimes we distort that character trait of a wise person in the conversations we have because we either take things personal. Remember, but wisdom doesn't take those things personal. We do. Because wisdom is at rest in the heart of him who has understanding. The word understanding has the idea. We see that throughout scriptures, especially in Proverbs. It talks about wisdom. It talks about knowledge. It talks about understanding. It talks about the fear of the Lord and discernment and discretion. A person who has understanding is someone who can separate things. Person that has understanding, obviously, is someone who has knowledge, because you're not going to be able to operate with understanding without some sort of the knowledge of God. Going to have wisdom to know how to, going to show some discretion, but understanding means they're able to distinguish and separate who I'm dealing with and what I'm dealing with, what I'm not dealing with. Understanding has that ability. When God gives us understanding of Him and who we are and what He's doing, we're able to separate when we're dealing with somebody who is lost, when we're dealing with somebody who is a fool, when we're dealing with somebody who's a scoffer, when we're dealing with somebody who's hurting, when we're dealing with somebody who is prideful, understanding and is able to distinguish and separate the different dynamics of the knowledge that God has given us. And we need understanding. We need to be able to distinguish and separate this principle and this way man operates and this way that he operates so that we can put all that together so that we can effectively help people. And that takes understanding to do that. You ever been talking with somebody and they said, God does this, and you're thinking, wait a minute, God's not giving me no knowledge on that he does it like this. Matter of fact, he's given me understanding how to separate, know that he does things like this. And he's proven himself time and time again. And you see, that's what understanding will do for us. It takes the knowledge we have and it's able to separate that knowledge in compartments of what and who and when and where and how we working with something so that we can give a wise, discerning answer to the people that we're working with or dealing with or the circumstances that we're facing in life. I need not only the knowledge of God, not only the wisdom of God, but I need understanding so that I can adequately apply the wisdom of God. I need to be able to separate things, make a distinction of what's happening here. A distinction, you can't operate in discernment without understanding, because discernment is the ability to discern whether this is a God thing or a man thing, a humanistic thing, a worldly thing, a devilish thing, or is this a supernatural thing? Is this of God? Is this right or is this wrong? And like children, when they're growing up, some kids, as they're growing, you're teaching them how to make a distinction on what is safe and what is not safe, what is right and what is wrong. And that's why we're constantly on a consistent basis telling them, no, you can't touch this, or no, you can't go there. We're trying to help them make a distinction that will harm you and that will bless you. That'll help you. That'll benefit you. That's a good thing there. That's a bad thing. You've got to be able to distinguish that. And as we mature and grow, that distinction has to be even more refined on what we're looking at, because some things don't appear bad, but they're not right. And I've got to be able to distinguish that. That goes back to what? That wisdom. If God's not defining these things for me, I'm not going to be able to distinguish what is from God or what is from man. Man is going to manipulate me, and I'm going to look at things that God says is good as evil, and I'm going to look at what God says is evil as good, because I've neglected him in his ways. Let's look at it. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5. Let's just take a little journey. I don't mind journeying a little bit, walking through the Word tonight. Look in Isaiah 5. I've got a few places we'll go and look at. In Isaiah 5, in verse number 20. Isaiah gives us these woes. And anytime ever God gives us a woe, it's to get our attention that something's not right with him, and there's going to be a distinct consequence for it not being right. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." What happened with the deception of Eve in the garden is the consequence of this right here. Eve was just on the first forefront of it. What has happened throughout time, men have gotten further and further and further away in this snowball effect of sin. But it started, the basic foundation and the principles of this started in the garden with Adam and Eve. What God says was good, now Eve is calling evil, and what God said was evil, Eve sees it as good. God never said that fruit was good for food, did he? He told her not to eat it. But she saw it as good. Why? Because the enemy suggested something to her to redefine what God said. When she heeded the voice of that enemy, she began to disconnect herself from the wisdom of God and let this enemy redefine what God said. And now she's seeing things the flip opposite of what they are. We do that same thing when we pay attention to the wrong voice. We, like this, begin to say that what is evil is good, good is evil. We put darkness for light and light for darkness. And it all boils down to God is not defining on how we look at things in life. We're not seeing and agreeing with Him. We're actually living according to our flesh. Now, look in a couple verses over in this same chapter. Look why this happened. Look in verse number, what is it? Verse number 24. Look in verse number 24. Actually, verse 24. Toward the end of the verse, notice why they've done what they've done. All these woes came to them because of this. He says, because they have done what? They've rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, and they took lightly the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against His people, and He has stretched out His hand against them. Okay, so here we have it. Why were they calling evil good and good evil and darkness light and light darkness? Why? They cast away. They rejected the law of the Lord. Deuteronomy 4 says the law of the Lord, the ways of God, was their wisdom. And if you get rid of the Word of God, if you neglect the Word, that's why it's such a battle in our society, why they want to stay away from the Word of God. I've counseled with people in times past. I've been around folks that I've tried to help, and they come to me, they were upset, and this is the first thing they said, do not tell me what the Word of God says. I want to know what you say. I said, well, I ain't got nothing to say. Amen. You don't want to hear what I got to say. We want to hear what God's Word says. But that's our society. We don't want to hear what God says, because God reveals what is good. He also reveals what is evil. He also reveals what is darkness and what is light. And men that love darkness don't want to come to the Word because the Word's going to expose their darkness. So the easiest thing for humanity to do is to push the Word out. Get rid of it. Stay away from it. So that I can redefine what is good and I can justify myself and what I'm doing. But there's a woe to that. There's a consequence to that. We then cannot discern and understand, and we can't make wise choices. Go to chapter number 2 and verse number 6. I'm going to give you a few things why these woes came. He's going to tell us. Somebody chronicle that for us. Somebody remember that. Jot that down. What was the first thing he said? They cast away or they rejected what? The law, or you can simply say the Word of God. That's what they did. When he's talking about the law, it's not talking about necessarily just the Ten Commandments, how we often want to think that in our mind. We're just simply saying the way of God, the Word of God, the wisdom of God. They rejected the wisdom of God. 2:6 says, for you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob. Why did God forsake them? Why did God pull away? Because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. Simply, they are filled with darkness, deception. They're filled with, when you cast away the Word of God, the wisdom of God, what's going to take its place? Darkness. Something is filling us up today. Either we're being filled with darkness or we're being filled with light. We're either being filled with the wisdom of God or we're being filled with the wisdom of the world. We're either walking according to the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit. Are you with me? Something is influencing us. And when we cast away the wisdom of God, Mama Rob, the only thing that can replace that is darkness. That darkness comes in a lot of varieties. This particular darkness was what he described as Eastern principles, Eastern spiritualism. It had spiritual connotations to it. It talked about soothsayers and all these different things that had religion in it, but it wasn't the wisdom of God, because it wasn't the way of God, because it wasn't the Word of God, because it wasn't the law of God, God's way. Well, so what do we have here? They've rejected the law of God, the wisdom of God. And when you do that, now they are what? Filled with darkness. Chapter 17 in verse number 10. One of the advantages of keeping the wisdom of God, or seeking the wisdom of God, the way of God, the Word of God, is that we're always keeping the presence of God before us, the ways of God before us, the sovereignty of God before us. But when we're pushing that aside and we're filled with darkness, 17:10 says, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seedlings. And in the day you will make your plant grow, and in the morning you will make your seed flourish. That's saying everything you do in your own strength, because you're not going to God and asking Him for help. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. It's simply saying these people started operating in their own strength. Why did they operate in their own strength? Because they rejected the wisdom of God. They were filled with darkness. And they forgot who's the one who gave them breath and life and all that they have. Gave them this land. Gave them this seed. They're doing everything in their own strength now for themselves. You see how this just continually leads in these steps? Go to 9, chapter 9 and verse 13. Remember what he said in 17 was going to happen? They sowed and they planted plenty, but their harvest came to little to nothing. Verse 13 says, for the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. They don't turn to the one who strikes. You know, God chastens those that he loves and scourges every son whom he receives. See, but when we cast away the wisdom of God, we're filled with the darkness of this world around us. We forget what God has done and what he's doing in us. When God disciplines us and chastens us, we see it as something else. We don't see it at his hand of favor. We blame it on the person that's living next to us. We blame it on our spouse. We blame it on our co-workers. We blame it on our boss. We blame it on the economy. We blame everybody else. But we don't turn to the one who's disciplining us, who's striking us. Why? We forgot him. Why did we forget him? We rejected him. Why did we reject him? What happened when we did that? Our lives began to fill with deception and darkness. And we started calling evil, bad things, good. And that which was good of God, we looked at it as a thing to stay away from. Man, this is just a slippery slope that we go down the wrong path with quickly. Look in chapter 22 in verse number 10. Can y'all see the progress? 22:10. He says in 22:10, you numbered the houses of Jerusalem and the houses you broke down to fortify the wall. You also made a reservoir between the two walls for the water of the old pool. That's simply saying you took measures in your own hands to fix the problems you were having, but you did not look to what? You didn't look to the Maker. You didn't look to the Creator. Nor did you have respect for Him who fashioned it long ago, who gave you what He gave you. You chose to do these things on your own. You didn't acknowledge Him. You didn't go to Him. You didn't consider Him. Why? You've been filled with darkness. You've doing things in your own strength. And you haven't noticed when He's been stripping you of a little bit here and there. And been taking things from you. You just attributed it to everyday life and what's going on with everybody else. You're blaming everybody else. So you're not going back to Him. You're not seeking Him and asking Him, what does He think about this? And this is going on. And we see the consequences. See, this is why these woes come. Look in chapter 30. Chapter 30 and verse number 12. 30 and verse number 12 says, therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise. The word despise simply means to take lightly. You don't make it a, you don't give it place. Remember what fear does? The fear of the Lord, we give place to God. We give priority to Him. But when we don't fear Him, what happens is we take Him lightly. His word doesn't have precedent in our life. It doesn't have a place in our life. Because you despise this word and you trust in oppressions and perversity and rely on them. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall. They were relying on things that had, not only was it wicked, but it was empty and vain and had no life in it. And that's what they were turning to for help, rather than turning and relying upon the Lord. That's totally opposite of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, isn't it? Amen. Trusting in oppression. Trusting in taking from one and oppressing somebody. They trust that, hey, if they can take advantage of their neighbor or the business economy, if they can take advantage of them, they can put extra money in where? Their pocket. They'll come out ahead in this oppression. And they'll just take advantage of this person and that person, because what are they doing? They're living for who? They're living for themselves. They're not living to glorify Him. They're not living to honor Him. They look in how they can survive in this life. And to survive in this life with the way it's set up, you got to take care of yourself. And if you got to take care of yourself, you show little regard to anyone and you begin to trample upon them in their liberties to take advantage and feed your own mouth, rather than trusting that God can take care of you. And that He's going to help you. Whether you get trampled upon or you the rug under somebody's feet, God says, look, why can't we be wrong? Let people mistreat you. That's okay. They mistreated our King, didn't they? God's people have always been mistreated. But God's always blessed them, hasn't He?
Amen.
Has the righteous ever been begging for bread?
No.
Not according to the Word. Amen.
No, amen.
God meets the needs when we do things His way. But when we neglect His wisdom, we're filled with deception and darkness. We not acknowledge Him, asking Him, seeking Him. We take His word lightly. You can't help but take advantage of people because you're looking out for ourselves. How many of you ever been there before? It's easy to fall into this old world and get trapped with its darkness. Look in chapter number 31. Chapter number 31 in verse number 2. How we treat the Word will always manifest in how we deal with problems, how we treat people, and how we handle pride in our own life. And how God treats us will always be reflective of how we treat Him and His message. 31:2 says this. I'm going to just read verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Go to everything but Him. But you can't help that when you're filled with darkness, right? Why would a person be filled with darkness? Because they have rejected, cast away the wisdom of God. The choices of Eve and Adam in the garden have had some long-term effects. And it will be until God makes a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
And we are walking in the midst of a world who has redefined everything in this life to suit humanistic principles in ways. It's just the way this world operates. I've got to have understanding to be able to distinguish that so that I can turn to the Lord. Let Him define for me what He describes and sees as good, that I can see and agree with Him that it is. And what He describes as being evil, I see and agree that it is what it is. Or what's going to happen is that my entire way in life is going to be flipped, and I'll agree with the world around me with what God says is good, we'll classify it as evil. Can y'all see that in this life we live in right now?
Amen.
Can you see it when you turn on the news? Can you see it when you turn on a TV program? You see, if you don't have wisdom and discernment and understanding, you won't be able to make the distinction. And I want to tell you, we live in a population that is overwhelmingly full with people that can't make that distinction. So they classify what our society and our leaders and our Hollywoods and our movie makers and song makers and everybody else, their agendas, which go contrary to the things of God, they stand with. And anybody that goes against that, they say we're the intolerant ones, but they can't tolerate us. But how I treat them, how I deal with problems, and how I handle this stuff in my own life is going to be reflective of who I'm seeking, who I'm turning to, who I'm leaning on, or am I going to operate in my own strength? Am I going to live like the fool, or am I going to live like a wise person who has wisdom resting inside? See, wisdom doesn't get riled up when all this stuff going on around us. Why? Wisdom's got a solution, got an answer for it. And wisdom's going to help us point them to Jesus. It's going to help us point them to the truth. It's going to help us point them to His Word and His ways and His wisdom. Not going to fight with them. Not going to let them get us all defensive and disturbed and in turmoil, because, see, wisdom rests in those who can make the distinction. We know why people do what they do. Amen? The wiser we become in the Lord, the more mature and growing we grow in the Lord, we realize that people that don't know the Lord, that have rejected Him, don't seek Him, don't seek His Word, take lightly His message, they cannot help be filled with darkness. Amen. And when they're filled with darkness, everything they see is through a filter of deception. So when they respond the way they respond that way because of the darkness and the deception that's in them. But see, they don't see themselves as being wrong. They see their wrong as quote unquote right. That's why they have things in common, so much in common with one another, and they don't have as much in common with us.
Right.
Now, they can talk our lingo for a little bit, like we talked about this morning. But we don't have the same nature. We're two different people. We have a different nature. We're new creatures in Christ who have a completely, totally different nature than they have. We have help that they don't have. So what does that do? As with God's omniscience and God's all being all wise and God being just and God being merciful and God being love, when He deals with an unjust person, He don't deal with them blindly. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. He knows why they do what they do. You see, when He's working in us, we also know who they are, why they do what they do. And you know what we can do then? We can extend compassion, because they're lost. They're perishing in this deception and darkness. And though they've made choices to be right where they are, they can't come out of that unless something supernatural takes place in their life. And we got help with that, amen? We have answers for that. They might be able to sweet talk us a little bit. But the closer we get into them, It's the enemy's tool to use them to pull us off of the wisdom of God. That's all it is. I've just got to recognize that. I've got to have understanding, the discernment. I've got to make that distinction. That what they say and what they're doing, they believe it's right. They believe they're doing the right thing, saying the right thing, acting the right way, living the right way. They can't understand why you think the way you think, do what you do, and why you think that away. I just got to recognize that, hey, who I'm working with, who I'm dealing with, and where my solutions and answers for life comes is not from them. It comes from Him.
Amen.
And He's given me a treasure chest of wisdom to go to. And I want to hear Him so that I can understand them and show them compassion and help them with His answers. Even if they don't like me, I can still love them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because God shows compassion and is always kind, even to those who are unjust. They can talk a little bit. Just different natures. That's all it is. Amen. Anybody have anything you want to add? Give away. 10:25. Remember, we want our wisdom to be strong now. Our life. 10:25. Proverbs.
Proverbs 10:25. As the whirlwind passed, so the wicked one is no more.
They're going to come to an end.
They're going to come to an end. And we see the damage that it does.
Mm-hmm.
We see the damage that the wicked one does.
Right.
They're going to come to an end.
They don't have an everlasting foundation. It will come to an end. But what God's given us, what He says, will endure and last forever. And so will we.
And that we in Him. To our children.
That's right.
That everlasting to the children of children.
Yes. And I tell you, we need help to be able to instill this wisdom that God's given and this understanding, discernment to our kids. Because y'all know as well as I do, it's only getting worse out there.
Yeah.
And man, right now, it is a major thrust in our society to bombard our children and grandchildren and this millennial generation and even the older generation, because you see in more and more older generation, you see them abandoning solid foundations that were instilled with them years and years ago and compromising, no different than what Israel did. What did they do? First thing they did, they rejected the Word of God. You reject God, you can't help but feel with deception. When you feel with deception, you're not going to go to Him. You're not going to seek Him. You're not going to ask Him. And you redefine how you look at life, how you look at things. We want to see it through His filter. We want Him to define that for us. Because if He's not defining it, we're perceiving it wrong. Remember that. If God is not defining life for me, I am perceiving life wrong. I'm perceiving myself wrong. I'm perceiving people wrong. I'm perceiving the purpose of life wrong. And that's going to have an effect on how I live, how I love, how I treat people. If God is not defining how I see life, I will perceive life wrong. I need Him. Amen.
Amen.
I need Him. And I can't rely on what I had yesterday. I need Him to be present and feeding me and leading me in wisdom today. 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 Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege we have to gather. We ask that You would direct our paths, define for us the way You see things. We want to live by faith, and living by faith is simply seeing and agreeing with You. Lord, this is a fight. This is a battle that we have to wage ourselves. That's why You teach us to put on the full armor of God, that we might stand against the schemes and the wiles of the enemy who uses this world and society that doesn't seek You to come against us, to get us to redefine things. So we want to put on the full armor of God. We want to do all that we can to stand, and we want to stand wisely. We want to be strong in the wisdom and grace that You've given us, So we're asking you to intertwine your wisdom in every dynamic of our life, that we understand it to be the principal thing. We need it. Like Adam needed Eve, we need your wisdom to live in this life. And when we operate apart from your wisdom, it leads to a redefining of the way we see things. So help us. We're at your mercy, and we want you to use us, and we want to be a help to other people. Thank you for letting wisdom rest in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And as Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in his sickness. That resilient vitality will sustain somebody in their sickness. You find somebody to give up, you find somebody that's not far from the grave, they're not going to make it. But that vitality in the spirit makes a difference. Psalm 41, 1 through 5 says that when we've lived our life for Jesus, Jesus will strengthen our spirit in our sickness. He will help us. So I tell you, there's a reward in living and helping and serving other people. When you can't do it anymore, guess who's gonna strengthen you with the strengths you need? You're not going to live forever. You eventually, we're all going to die. Amen. So all sickness, eventually this old body's going to give up the ghost. It's just inevitable. Our days are numbered. But I tell you, don't you want to go out strong? Amen. With a vital, resilient spirit that God strengthens? And I do. And want to give glory to Him, whatever He brings us through. Psalm 91 says that God goes into trouble with us. He goes into trouble with us. He's in that sick bed of affliction with us. To Him be the glory. Amen. Amen.